All right, good evening, everyone. And this is the time and place scheduled for our budget hearing. As properly noticed, it is 5:35 p.m. Tuesday, November 21st. I'm now officially called our meeting to order. The first thing is Pledge of Allegiance, so whenever you rise.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Crisco, would you conduct the roll call?
Certainly. Supervisor Zamuda.
Here.
Supervisor Abruzzo.
Here.
Supervisor Nutt.
Here.
And Supervisor Wyckoff.
Here.
There are four present, Mr. Chairman, and one on the way.
All right, very good. A quorum is present. We'll begin with visitor public comment. This is the time for anyone to come from the public wishing to come forward. May do so. Same rules apply for the budget hearing as apply on other public hearings and meetings. Seeing as no one is here from the public this evening, we will close the visitor public comment session and move to new business. First item under new business is the presentation and consideration of the proposed fiscal year 2024 budget, which will be presented by Mr. Crisman and staff.
Spending plan for the upcoming fiscal year. In this case, it's the 2024 calendar year. So as of right now, pending tonight's hearing, any questions you may have or any changes you may have to the proposed budget tonight, we incorporate those changes and we look to seek adoption of the final budget at your December 19th meeting. But before I begin, as I always like to do, I just want to take a moment to thank the staff that's here tonight. A lot of the work that goes into developing our budget starts with these folks that sit right here. And, you know, they all do a tremendous job for this township year in and year out. And 2024 is going to be different. You'll see this spending plan is slightly less than what we were a year ago as we get into it a little bit further. And we're putting more money away than we did 1 year ago, all of which are good things. But I just want to, you know, really call your attention to these folks, because if it weren't for them, I wouldn't be able to do what I do, and they certainly make my job a lot easier, so thank you guys, I really appreciate it. As you are aware, Section 3205 of the Second Class Code is what really establishes how tax levies are set in the Commonwealth, and it sets the process by which our budget is adopted. And in Derry Township, as you know, there are 8 operating funds and 3 capital funds. This is the same slide that we do in our quarterly presentation. We talk on the left. These are all of our operating funds, 01 through 95. And on the right here, 30 through 32, these are the capital project type funds, where funds are set aside to deal with the capital needs of the township, the community center, road equipment, and public works. That's where those types of items are. So the purpose of tonight's meeting, as I stated before, is to review the proposed operating budget for next year. After our presentation tonight and following any questions that you might have or changes you may recommend, we would ask that the board would authorize the advertisement of the 2024 budget with final adoption then scheduled for December 19th. Some highlights for this budget. I'm happy and pleased to report to you once again that this is a no-tax increase budget. Real estate taxes will remain the same at 2.5381 mils for 2024. This is the fourth consecutive year without a need for a tax increase, and that millage has remained unchanged since fiscal year 2020. Our budget maintains the consistency with DCED's chart of accounts and is in conformance with the township's annual audit. I'm happy to also report that if you look at our third bullet, that our general fund balance is projected to end next year at 5.3 million, And we have an additional with saving with $1.3 million moving to the general reserve fund. We'll have a total of $5.7 million, leaving the township with operating cash around $11 million. That's fantastic. I mean, when we started talking about this when I got here 5 years ago, this new board sat and we talked about the need to build long-term savings for the township. Again, that is in part due to constraints on spending, the work of the folks I mentioned before over here to my right, controlling their budgets, and being able to put long-term savings away for the township. This sets the base if there's ever a problem where there's an emergency, an unfunded need that pops up. We have the resources then to address those concerns throughout the township. As that number begins to grow year over year, the hope would be that we'd look to improve our bond rating with the township. Right now, I think we're at AA- stable. You know, if we can continue to save money and do what we're doing, there's no reason why that rating shouldn't improve. That improves the market worthiness of the township if we need to go out for long-term financing. Our interest rates will be much lower than they would at the current AA- stable level. All good things. This operating plan also maintains township services at its current levels. It does anticipate about $1.5 million worth of capital projects to address various needs throughout the township. It is in conformance with our collective bargaining agreements. As you are aware, 2024 is the last year of our contract with our two unions, the Police Association and AFSCME. In this third year, the employees are set to receive a 3% increase in their wages. And this budget also includes some new positions. You know, the board has been pretty clear throughout the last year that you want to improve services in the township, and one in place in particular you've been stressing meeting in, meeting out, is the need for a traffic safety unit in the police department. I've asked the chief to look at the numbers, look at staffing. As you're aware, right now we're at full complement. We have 40 officers, sworn officers on. It's a great place to be. The board has said, you know, we need a little bit more in the way of traffic safety. We're proposing 4 officers in this upcoming budget, additionally 1 additional admin secretary in the police department. Also, in the township's other busiest office, which is community development, we're looking to hire an additional inspector, all of which there are challenges because, as you know, you need certain certifications in order to be an effective inspector within that department. So trying to find the right personnel to fit these holes isn't going to happen immediately on January 1. It's going to be a progress over the course of the year. With respect to the officers, we're budgeting those at 50% for the calendar year, so that for a couple of reasons. A, you know, we have an opportunity to look at the next class for the training class at the community college. It doesn't begin until July. So that puts us in that time frame. We've been having some ongoing negotiations and discussions with the Med Center, as you're aware, so that they are interested in potentially funding certain capital projects for the township as part of a donation that they'd like to make. Those conversations are still ongoing. Part of that may include some of these payment for these officers. So it'll be exciting to see where that goes, at least in the coming weeks and months ahead. Additionally, Public Works is growing. We'd like to hire 2 more laborer drivers. You know, that is the one office in the township that everyone touches. They see, I mean, right now it's leaf collection time, so everybody sees the trucks. Everyone sees the hard work that we put in to try to get the leaves as quickly as possible. Having 2 additional drivers on staff will make that job a lot easier. We're making plowing roads in the winter more efficient. And I don't know that our number has stayed the same for, still down when you
know what you see. I think it's about 12 to 15 years we stayed the same.
So at least according to Tom, we've been down 3, right? We're putting 2 back in. We're still short 1. So I think that's a fair ask, at least from us, to try to improve service delivery for the township. Healthcare costs this year are increasing by 9.7%. As you know, the township participates in a health cooperative through Benecon, and as such, the utilization of the plan, in good years when you have employees that aren't using the benefit nearly as much, you get a much higher refund and your rate of increase is much lower. In this particular 2023 year, 22-23, utilization of the plan was much higher. Some of those claims may have hit the stop loss, and as a result, that impacts your rates. So this year, they're projecting a 9.7% increase. All of our other insurance lines, we project that at a 5% increase. Our renewal numbers are still being worked out, but I'm hoping by the time the final budget's, you know, ready to be delivered to you in December, we'll have those renewal numbers updated in the final document. But year over year, they've been right around that 5% range. So we look at this chart. This is always going to be in the front of your budget book. It's in the current budget. This kind of is a representation of the summary of all of our funds, what we're projecting. The general fund is, you know, is beginning the year at $7 million in operating fund balance. At the end of the year, we're finishing the year at 5.3. A majority of that $2 million is all shifting out into savings going to your operating reserve account to help build that fund balance that I talked about previously. All in, when you look at our number, our expenses across all funds, we're at $34.7 million. You know, it's a pretty in-depth spending plan from where we were a year ago. But each year, we do our best to keep our expenses in check. And we'll take a little bit deeper dive into the general fund, since that's the one that most definitely is impacted by revenues and expenses. So when you look at general fund revenues, overall we're proposing a $29.2 million total revenues coming through to the township. That's a 6.06% increase over where we are currently in 2023. Our Act 511 taxes are up almost, you know, not say 10%, but they're up 9%. You know, that includes the occupation taxes, the VIT, LST, all have been very stable for the township. I'm happy to report that, I'm not going to say definitively that COVID is over, we can just go back to kind of snoozing, hitting the snooze button, but for our purposes, revenue remains very stable, very consistent. I'm not seeing any dips in EID revenue that would give me panic to say to you that we need to adjust some things or take a harder look at other avenues for revenue for the township. I think we're okay. I think 2024 will prove itself out yet again that we're okay.
Chris, where do you see, when you look at the just bottom line, total available for appropriation, you see a 6% increase for 2024. Can you give us an idea, like, what is that generally attributed to, that 6% increase? Is that across multiple funds or any particular fund?
So when you go back up a couple of pegs here, so where you'll see some increases is interest. You know, interest income for the township is going up significantly. That is a conservative estimate at $300,000. So due to the interest rate environment right now where it's a great time to save money. It's not a great time to borrow money or spend money, but it's a great time to save. Our banking arrangement that we had previously, if you recall, we moved depositories a year or so ago, a year plus now. We were not earning interest as part of our arrangement with that bank. We have since moved our depository to Pliggett, higher rates. We have also some funds with Members First, much higher rates. And the township has realized that, and by the end of this year, we'll have at least $450,000 in interest income. That's unprecedented for us, at least since I've been here. So that's a part of your attributables, that increase in that 6%. The other part of it is looking at public safety dollars that are coming through the door. These are all kind of smaller moves in a larger pie, but overall,
it looks like you're seeing them mostly across the, I mean, I don't want to say across the board completely, but you can generally see that the proposed increases are, you know, even licenses and permits, I mean, that's up $175,000. So that's pretty significant. On the one slide right before, at the very top line, general fund, beginning balance, 2024 revenues, 2024 expenses. That's a prediction for 2024, correct?
Correct. This is just 24.
And so what is the difference between the expenses and revenues for 2024? Because it looks like that's...
I have another slide that I'll show you.
You can show, okay. So, yeah, Natalie's one. I didn't know if we should hold them all to the end.
No, it's helpful
to do it while we're on the slide.
I'm happy to stop. That's fine.
Well, your question prompted a question I was going to hold for the end, but I was like, this is perfect for this. I wanted to ask you about the increase in the occupational taxes. So it looks like those are up 9%. Is there any way that that's attributed to the new process of collecting those taxes?
It's definitely attributed to that. So that number, again, all of our revenues are very conservative estimates. You know, I've always taken a budgeting approach that I don't like to shoot for the moon and then have to try to explain to you 1 year later why we overinflated our numbers, so we're under. I do believe that because of the changeover in the collection process, you're going to see a higher number attributed to occupation tax collection because now they're able to marry the data between EIT numbers and occupation taxpayers because they're the same people.
So they're capturing people they weren't capturing before.
Yes. Yeah. I don't have a number that I can say definitively what that is tonight, but...
Yeah, I wasn't going to go that far.
Sure.
Maybe at some point it would be great to see, after we've been through it for a whole year, how much better we are at collecting and how... I mean, I know, I think we've all heard about how much our residents like the new process, but it's nice to see that we're a 9% increase in collecting, too.
Yes, and I can say, honestly, I mean, I spent a lot of my time as of late answering a lot of questions for delinquent taxpayers that were unaware that they had to pay an occupation tax, and now suddenly they are having to pay it, they're getting hit with penalties. You know, the township's approach to this, my approach to it, is to waive penalties at this point just to get people current. You know, if they were unaware of it, I think it's kind of unfair to punish them. If they were aware of it and chose to ignore paying it, well, then they're going to pay the piper. But overall, the folks that I've been dealing with have been very cooperative through the change.
Do you think then, for at least the meeting where we pass the budget, could you just have find out from Keystone or whatever? Is there any comparison that can be done just so we have? It's been now, you know, we did this earlier in the year. We couldn't do it. You needed to give it time. We needed to give it time, right? But I'm just curious if there's some tangible number we can get to really get to Natalie's question. You know, like how much of an increase is attributable to now we're collecting more from people that weren't paying before that now are aware they have to pay?
I think it'll be a little easier to get at that number next year because then we'll have one full cycle between the township and the school district because there's some crossover and we can split that data a little easier. But I can certainly try to get some interim numbers from them to see if it proves the argument. Much like our quarterly presentations, this is just a graphic representation of how the general fund pie is sliced. So 57% of your operating budget comes from Act 511 tax, which is what we talked about, occupation, LST, EIT, real estate transfer. Those are the taxes that make up that 57%. The other large slice is your real estate property tax. That's currently at 26% of the pie. So all of the other revenues that come through the township is everything else, the permits, the fees, the charges. I think it's helpful to see it. Some people like it in a pie form versus the chart. But, one thing I do want to point out, as I point out year over year, the last couple of years, that every quarterly update is where you as a taxpayer stand and how you relate to all the other taxing bodies that you are paying towards. So when you look at this graphic here, total mills that the Dairy Township taxpayer is paying is 31.3736 mills. 19.9595 of that, or 64% of it, goes to the Derry Township School District, of which Derry Township has no connection to. We don't get any money out from them. We don't they don't provide service to us directly, but we do get confused. The taxpayers do confuse us with them, and we are not them. The next largest piece of the puzzle is the Dauphin County itself, and that's at 8.8760 mils, or 28% of every dollar you spend. And lastly, Derry Township, again, our fourth consecutive year without a tax increase, we're at 2.5381 mils, 8% of your real estate tax dollar that's collected. And again, for that 8%, you get a full range of services via Public Works, 24-hour police, a library, a community center, of course, the administrative functions of the township, building codes, code enforcement, you know, all of the things that a good community should have, that 8% pays for it. On the expense side of the coin, you'll see that it's basically almost a neutral budget. At the very end, we look at this in the aggregate. Last year's budget, we adopted at $23.8 million, 888949. This year's budget is going up just slightly at $23,889,883. Overall, I'm pretty pleased. You see, I like seeing the negatives on this side of the budget just because it shows us where we're saving some money or our expenditures are less than they were a year ago. Some of it does go up. I mean, I know this is kind of misleading. We see 420%, but this is an emergency management line item that kind of fluctuates year over year depending on whether or not we're going to spend $300 or $1,500. But in the grand scheme of things, it's really negligible. Any questions on this slide at this point before I Similarly, like our revenue graphics, the general fund expenditures, as you see, the police services is still the largest portion of your expenditure puzzle at 33%. Interfund transfers make up the other 32%, and that is the area of the budget where we're moving funds from the general fund to things like the general reserve fund for savings, to the capital projects fund for capital accounts, to the community center fund or the library. That's where that funding source comes from. We identify it there. You'll see an out in the general fund and an in and all of the corresponding funds so that that money balances out.
Chris, why do you have to have it? Just out of curiosity, why doesn't it just go from like park maintenance, you know, from the general fund directly to park maintenance? Are you saying that not everything has to go through the interfund transfer, but 30% of it does, 37.2%.
So 99% of everything you do in the township bubble comes out of your general fund. The transfers serve as an accounting tool to move money from the general fund, because by the second class code, you're only allowed free spending from the general fund, if that's the easiest way to say it. All of your other dedicated funds either have to have an allowable real estate tax millage associated with it to generate revenue in the fund, or you have to transfer money in via another source. So the other source is the general fund, because it can accept funds from everywhere. You know, it's an open account that allows you to spend money in different ways. So the interfund transfer becomes an important vehicle in the general fund to move money. So it, from an auditing standpoint, it makes it easier to trace how dollars are being spent or how dollars are being allocated in savings. So in theory, we would just use the general reserve fund. In the general fund, you see there'll be $1.3 million going out. In the general reserve fund in 95, which is your last fund in your budget, you'll see $1.3 million coming in through a separate line, 392. It's 492 going out, 392 coming in.
Chris, are debt service payments included in that number?
Yes, so when you look at the in your fund transfers, it's not in this slide, but in your actual budget, if you go to the 492, I don't remember the last three digits, but you'll see a number that transfers from general fund to debt service to pay the township's debt for the upcoming year. Now, what I want to point out about the fund balance that we're showing, that $5.3 million, and we're moving 1.3 to savings. This budget also anticipates in the debt service fund that the $2 million RACP funding will be coming from the state in 2024. If that money does not come for whatever reason, you know, Zach and I are working with Capital Construction Management to try to get as much paperwork as we can to the state, because they seem to want something different every few weeks. Be that as it may, if it doesn't come in the 2024 year, we'll have to move an additional $2 million to cover the debt service that is attributed for 2024. So that $2 million becomes important in this discussion this year.
Yeah, it looks like about 50% of that interfund transfer expense goes to debt service.
Right.
And we only have debt on one thing, right? We're only servicing one loan. We don't have debt on any of, only on the community center, right? Debt service.
There's a variety of different. When you open that budget, you'll see in the debt service fund, we'll
show them all.
You'll show them, see all the notes.
Cool, thank you.
Sure. On this next slide, we're just showing total personnel costs for 2024. As you can see, it's a 6.39% increase. That's in the aggregate. Yeah, that includes the 3% general wage increase, the 9.7% swing in the health care benefits. Those are your total gross costs for personnel for the township for 2024. As I noted early on, both of our contracts are up this year, 2024, so we'll be convening with the unions this year to try to negotiate new contracts to begin in 2025. Hoping that it goes well. I mean, I think, you know, by and large, I have not heard much from labor that there's, you know, major issues within their collective bargaining units that would give me pause to think otherwise, that the negotiations won't go smoothly.
Chris, what time of year do those negotiations conversations start?
We try to get started early, so I will try to get in touch with the police association early in January. Now, generally, they will send their list of demands first to the township, and then we'll sit and look at, you know, what it is. We'll cost that out. In our last contract, I think it was supervisors of Ruzzo and Nutt sat as part of like the working group. So myself, two supervisors, Cheryl Lantz from finance. We represented admin, and then on the union side, there's four or five folks that represent, you know, that side of the table. And you know, we go back and forth several times, really. And I think our last negotiation was very fruitful for both sides. I mean, you know, the trick of it is if both ends feel a pinch, then you know you have a good contract. So,
Chris, does the personnel costs in 2024 reflect the police position, public works positions, and the community development position?
Yes.
Because those, and I think to your point, none of those positions are going to be, we're not going to start paying on those positions in January, right? But it's going to take some time to ramp those positions up and hire, et cetera. So.
No, I mean, we have a current vacancy right now, the assistant director of public works, and you know, Tom and I are extending that search. You know, we've had a couple of interested folks put applications in, but I think we'd like to see a few more come through the door before we start interviewing candidates, potential candidates for the position. But, you know, it's a process. You know, we were hoping it would be a couple of weeks that there would be a tremendous influx of people that would want to work with Dairy. But, like, you know, I suppose like everyone else in the job market, it's difficult. It's difficult to find good people.
I imagine all the departments do this. Do you spend time doing any kind of succession planning with the department heads in terms of the internal folks, to the extent that, just so that, I don't know, you know, other than Bob, I'm not sure, public works, I'm not sure who the next person in line would be, but because it would seem to me we would want to make sure that internally our department heads have identified some folks that, with some training and things, could be groomed for those kinds of positions.
I think, you know, it's not something we talk about on a regular basis, but I think it's something that we should plan for, and we should try to take a more serious approach to it. You look at the position, my position of township manager, you know, God forbid something happens, you know, you need to find someone to step in. You know, it's always helpful if you have someone in the assistant manager's role that could step in for the event the manager.
Well, and we've been, you know, Chris, not just at the township manager position, but I'll say this with these folks here, we've always been very fortunate in this township. We've had, I throw the superlative around loosely. I mean, we've had great department heads for, who have folks that have stayed with us for years, and so we've become a little spoiled. I mean, we just have been, and so we did a great job of replacing Matt. We did a great job of replacing, I guess it really was Barbara. I'm not sure. I think it was
Laura.
I wasn't. I think I just those were. I wasn't here during those years, but I mean, we've done a really good job. We collectively, all of us, in identifying really great candidates to step in. But I think all the department heads should be thinking about, you know, if I leave tomorrow or if I'm going to leave in 6 months, who from within could I begin grooming? It doesn't necessarily mean that that position will come from within, but in the perfect world, you are promoting from within.
Certainly, you know, the better sphere of the employees know that there is potential for advancement.
Yeah.
That you're not just going to sit stagnant for the next 20 years. So, you know, that is certainly something that I'll say I should take a harder look at, you know, make sure that we're putting the right people in place so that in the event there are changes, because they're not allowed to retire. I've told them that, but,
you know, I would think your training budget for each department, we haven't gone through the specifics, but, you know, we'd want to make sure that the department heads are sending. There's a lot of great training out there for the municipal folks. PSATS does a lot of it, but lots of folks do it. It would be good to be able to send, you know, someone, but you're sending them to training that is designed to help develop them, right, in their role. So,
they get sick of hearing me say that I'm always supportive of any type of educational opportunity that may be related to what their job duties are. You know, I'm not the expert at all things public works, but if Tom knows the things that make sense for his guys to go to, or you know, if we had a younger assistant director at this point that we could send to try to get some training, I'm certain that we budget for it, we put money aside, and I'm certainly not opposed to sending anyone to training. Happy to report that at least for 2024, Police Department Admin is joining me for the PELRAS conference, which I think is probably one of the best values for Municipal Police Pennsylvania Employment Labor Relations Seminar. And that has grown leaps and bounds. I've been doing this for 25 years, and I can remember when there were 300 people at this conference, and now there's over 800 people at this conference. And it's all grown because Police Admin taking a sincere interest in trying to help administrators manage their departments, manage labor units. So the things that we learn in this conference aren't just applicable to police departments, it's applicable to just general workforce, labor rules, labor relations. You know, Gary Township has the AFSCME union. So the same rules apply in collective bargaining. They may look a little different, but by and large, that PELRAS conference, I can speak for myself, you know, having gone to it, like I said, for the last 25 years, has been important part of my career planning. So I hope that Garth and you know, the rest of the team that's coming with us, you know, Bob's coming, and then Tim is set up kind of, or I'm not sure yet, but I know that it's going to provide value for them.
Yeah, just I encourage you to put money aside for training for in the department's budgets to help develop folks.
So before I jump off of the general fund, are there any other questions about it before we start kind of ticking through some of the small, I don't say smaller funds, but the other ones themselves? Since that's, the general fund's the big one. All right. So streetlight fund, as you know, Article 20 of the Pennsylvania Second Class Township Code basically outlines how you can collect fees for providing streetlights in the community. So Derry Township is projecting for 2024 that we'll have about $376,000 available. We try to net zero that fund every year in and out. So the assessments you know, I try to tick the assessment up to make it help match what we need to meet, meet the expenditure. Some, there is a balance that I do have to transfer each year. I don't get it quite right, but, you know, we try to do our best guess with it. Related, unrelated to this discussion, though, we've had some interest from Cocoa Towns at this point to upgrade their lights to, I think, an LED standard, is that right? LED. They want to improve, upgrade the globe. So we've been working with PP&L. We have some quotes and paperwork. It doesn't necessarily affect us so much. It's a net $371 increase for the year for them. But with it comes all kinds of paperwork, so Pat's office has to kind of review that before we get it to you, and the board would have to approve a resolution authorizing PP&L to move forward with improving the streetlights since they don't own them, we do. So that'll be coming in the near future once Pat's office has a chance to get it.
I've got a quick question for you, the streetlight fund. Are those funds available to install streetlights in places where they don't exist now?
No, this fund, I mean, you could technically do that if you raise, you would have to transfer money in to do that, you know, it would be coming from the general fund or a capital improvement fund, but monies that are drawn from here go specifically to pay the electrical service bill for the streetlights that currently exist. Community Center Fund, so for 2024, revenues are anticipated at $2.4 million. Again, this is a net zero fund. We try to balance that out. Happy to report that, you know, Zach and his team are doing a great job. They lowered the general fund subsidy down to $803,468. That's a 19%, approximately 19% reduction over where we were last year. You know, and I think as the history evolves with the finances with the community center, we're, you know, approaching like year two, we'll start to get a better feel for these numbers. You know, again, he's budgeting very conservatively on both sides of the coin, which I think, you know, putting his expenditures up a little bit higher because I'm not sure what to anticipate still. Overall, your team's doing a great job, and, you know, by having this subsidy continue to go down on a brand new building, you know, I think that's a great place for us to be. Any questions on the Community Center Fund before we move along? Solid waste. This one I do want to point out to you. So when you look at your proposed budget, the actual budget itself, you'll see some negatives currently in the solid waste fund. This is, we're in the process of dealing with the new auditor to try to figure out how to net out some of the expenses that are attributed to the landfill. So those negatives will get cleaned up between now and the time the final draft comes out. But when you look at it from pure revenue and expense side, you know, total anticipated revenue for 24 is about $384,000, and we have about $220,000 worth of expenses identified for next year. My hope is that, you know, once the auditors provide the correct journal entries, we'll offset those negatives that you see in your budget, and we kind of get that behind us. You know, it's, the landfill is something that is with us. It will be with us forever. It was with us before, and you know, we spend a lot of money to make sure that it's functioning properly in a safe manner. DEP has been fairly onerous with us, I would say, but sometimes unfairly. But you know, we're working through that with them. We continue to work well with them. It's just a challenge. So, moving on to the library fund. Again, that general fund transfer line item that I talked about, those 492 categories in there, you'll see a transfer to the library. Total funds for library are almost $1.2 million. Estimated budgeted expenses are at $1.2 million. Again, that fund balance is at zero. Allison's anticipating our state grant for the library to be again 86.6 for 2024. I think that's a good thing. And of course, we're working through the grant process right now for the HVAC replacement project. As you're aware, that's a fairly significant capital improvement to the library. Those are all, you know, 30. years old at this point and kind of outlived their useful life. We are still band-aiding the best we can. Right now it's cold, so we're okay. Library's still warm. That's good. So fingers crossed, grant cycles go well. We'll see where we are. And but we're putting money aside. We still have funds available through our loan. If you recall, we have a loan with S&T Bank, where we have a $3 million draw. We put $2 million on for two fire apparatus. There's still $1 million available. The board decides we need to draw those funds down to help offset some of those capital costs. We'll see where the grants come in. Kind of could be a time of chicken and egg issue.
I've got a question about that.
Sure.
The $270,000 that is budgeted in the budget, is that in the event we don't get any of the grant money? So we wouldn't have to borrow anything because it's budgeted for, correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay. So if we get even a portion of that, that could go back into reserves.
Yes.
Fantastic. Okay. Yeah. I want to make sure I was reading it right because I saw it in there and I was like, I think this is the 270. When do we get to find out if any of those funds will become available?
One is for April.
April for most of them.
Okay.
One is in February, and the other one is in April.
Is so, that when they pay it, or is that when it's awarded?
One is awarded in February. One is awarded in March, and then the funds become available in April.
So likely, we'll have to start the project before we know.
Unfortunately, we can't start the project because of some of the funding streams. They said that you cannot start the project until you are either confirmed or denied the grant. So the good thing is the one that really holds it back, I think, is if I remember correctly, that one's award is awarded in February, so we would be able to get started a little bit more quickly.
Okay.
So, yeah. Right. I'll keep you updated.
Well, that's great. Hopefully, we get both.
I don't want to put you on the spot, so if you don't,
go ahead.
I mean, you probably know this, but just for sake of comparison, what do the Friends of the Hershey Public Library and the endowment, you know, ballpark, what do they contribute on an annual basis? Or what do you expect them? Like, we're going to, the township will be providing $1.187 million for the library.
Yeah. So generally, the endowment provides about $60,000 for different projects. So this year, one of the projects they paid for was, it's still working on it. There's a new sign that's going to be out in front of the library. They also worked on putting up new signs inside the library and doing strategic planning. So that all totaled up to about $66,000. I anticipate about the same amount next year. And the Friends of the Library this year contributed about $40,000 to the library itself, and I anticipate the same next year. But that is all goes towards adult programming. None of that is included in this budget, so we are able to ask them directly for money for children's performers, for children's summer reading, for anything that the adults do. So if you came to the Sherlock Holmes program that was in November, that was paid for by the Friends of the Library and was well attended. So
yeah.
Yeah. That's lots of good supporters.
Good. They are both very good supporters, but it's good to be able to put those numbers in some kind of context. Thank you.
Moving on to the debt service fund. As we stated earlier, this fund accounts for all of the expenditures to meet our debt obligations in the township. So this year, the payment including both principal and interest is about $3.5 million. Year-end fund balance is projected at $2 million. That money will get spent one way or the other. If it comes in, it'll get spent to immediately offset the debt service. We can't hang on to it and invest that $2 million. We're required to spend that on the debt service pretty much immediately. So we'll do that if the funding comes through, for sure. In the capital reserve fund, which is 30, so now we're kind of getting into the other side of the coin. These are the projects or the amounts of money that have been identified for that $1.497 million for 2024. IT at 122, general government buildings 32,000, police services 369, fire protection 216, community development 24/7, and so on. And that's in your budget. You can see that it's broken out when you get the actual budget document. the proposed document on the 19th. There'll be a spreadsheet in the opening pages that will identify projects specifically that will add up to those amounts so you can see exactly what they are.
Chris, you have a line in there for emergency vehicles loan payment. Is that what we may have applied for municipal share grants?
Correct.
So that number, like the library, also be lower based on any municipal share grants that are awarded?
That's correct.
And does that go into the general fund then? How does that work?
So in this particular case, if we get the grant for that, there is a line item within the capital projects fund to allow for a revenue to come in from a grant. So it keeps it all contained in this fund. This is one of the recommendations from the auditor to try to put this here, so that's why it's here, not necessarily in the debt service fund.
So that fund would in essence grow?
Yes.
As opposed to going back into general funds?
Correct.
Chris, the fire protection line item, does that include the debt service on the fire trucks?
Yes. So community center reserve fund is 31. If you recall, when we redid the budget 5 years ago and the community center was about to come online, I was very adamant about the idea of creating this reserve fund, much like your general reserve fund. The only thing that can go on and the monies that come in here, these are funds that would be specifically dedicated for improvements at the center. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when things break, because they will. That's where funding can be taken right from this reserve fund, or if a board decides that they want to put something in the center, funds can be drawn from here. So we're projecting next year's year-end fund balance at $300,000. Last year was our first year of being able to move $150,000 into it. So the plan would be to continue that $150,000 contribution into this fund year over year. As that balance grows, we'll take that balance and invest it to try to maximize the gain. Again, we're in a really good interest rate market for saving money, so we can try to maximize those interest gains.
I have a question now that you mentioned that. With these separate funds that are sitting there just waiting for the time that we need them, we're making a lot of interest. Now, the interest that's coming out of these funds, are they going back into the general fund?
No, they'll be.
They're staying here.
It'll reside here.
So, in one of the prior slides, you noticed that you were showing us how much we were bringing in interest payments. Those interest payments are going into the general fund.
Correct.
Okay. Thanks.
Sure. So 32 is your road equipment fund. Now, this is one of those that's identified in the second class code, specifically in 3205A10. That allows you as a municipal body to really attach a millage to it. So at some point in the future, if a board decides, and we're able to take a look at that 2.5381 mills that we have coming into the township, if a portion of that can be stripped away from the general fund, now that would reduce your ability to move money in different ways. You could attribute that millage directly to this fund. This fund would begin to grow on its own, would have its own millage rate attached to it. The downside of that is, once funds are in that road equipment fund, it can only be used for road equipment purchases. You can't move it back out to, we're going to balance the budget this year with excess funds in the road equipment fund. So it's a plus and a minus. The second class code gives you the ability to save money through this vehicle, but you're limited on its spending. At least with the general fund option, by taking it and moving it in here, you're not limited. You don't have that restriction. You can pull that money back out. It's not the direct millage that goes into the account.
Ben, Chris, similar to questions about the previous, these expenses may be under municipal share grant. Yes?
Yes.
For purchases for vehicles for public works?
So some of the vehicles that we have already purchased are covered under what the board has applied for in the current year. So that's how that would go. These are new. This $545,299, those are new purchases from 24 that public works has identified.
And like the previous example, and any of that would remain in this fund to build this fund for future?
That's correct. And so, when we get to the point in the year, in the summer of next year, we're talking about local shared gaming grants. This is another one of those opportunities to try to offset some of this cost. Liquid fuels, as you're aware, the township receives a liquid fuels funding allocation each year from the Commonwealth. We're anticipating that for 2024 at $845,264. So that would make $1,764,080 available to be appropriated. This is the bulk of where your paving funds can come from. You can purchase equipment, but it's limited to certain types of road equipment. You can't just buy police cars out of this fund. You have to buy road equipment to repair roads, trucks, plows, those kinds of things. I think you can do line striping. So this is one of those things that I can say that, you know, the auditors come in from the state, they review it, they tell us if we're spending appropriately. I can tell you in another life, there was funds that were used from liquid fuels that had to be refunded through the general fund because it was used for a project that was not approved by liquid fuels funding. That was an accident that just kind of happened. It wasn't a lot of money, but the auditor caught it.
So for this item, this is probably a question for Tom as well. I mean, if there's going to be, if there's a surplus in that fund, if I'm reading it correctly, there'll be a surplus in that fund. Is it possible for us to be more aggressive on road paving around the township? Are we limited or constrained?
We were more aggressive this year than we typically are. And the reason for that was the lack of winter weather last year, and we made minimal purchases in salt. We purchased only enough of salt. I should say we purchased only the amount of salt that we were required to in the PennDOT contract. So the couple of snows that we did get early on allowed us to purchase that magical 61% of what we contracted for with PennDOT. So that gave us a lot of reserve going into this summer. Typically when we pave, there's two or three roads that, based on the winter, don't get done and push to the next year. Nothing pushed this year. Everything that I had planned to do was done and then some.
Yeah, I feel like maybe it's impossible for a lay person to feel it, but I do feel like we did more road paving than I remember this year. I think that that's a really good thing, and I know that it's not always going to be as, we may not always be able to be as aggressive as we were this year, obviously weather being a primary issue, but you know, for most people in the township, good roads are a sign of a good community. Like, people really appreciate good roads even if they don't tell us, right? So whatever we can do to continue to be aggressive, I completely support.
Liquid fuels funds are required to be used within 3 years. So I try and monitor that a little bit based on our winters. So hopefully everything I've heard says this winter is supposed to be much similar to the last winter. So maybe we'll be able to get even a little more aggressive next year.
Yeah, that's good. That'd be great. And I know you got a lot done this year, and I think it's really important. I think people appreciate it. But anyway, thank you.
Thank you. So lastly, I know I talked a lot about it early on, is your general operating reserve fund. This is like your savings. This is where you want to park funds that, in the event there's a problem in the township, an emergency, a flood, you have reserves of cash to rely upon so that you're not always out borrowing money. If you can, this gives you a cushion. So I talked to you last year, and probably the year before that, my goal as your manager is to try to put, an even $10 million aside just in the general operating reserve. When you combine that with available fund balance across the funds, now you suddenly have 15, 17, 18 million. Now we're talking real money. And so that's a big difference when you're going out to borrow funds and you have that kind of liquidity. liquidity available, it certainly will affect your borrowing capacity, will affect your bond rating, it will improve over time, all of which I think is a sign of a healthy community. You know, this board has been very consistent about controlling spending. We have done that, and in addition to that, we have taken a hard stance about trying to get as much money aside as we can, and we're just not spending the world. You know, you are being stewards of the community by which you were elected. We're being stewards of the taxpayer fund, and you rely on us to make sure that your goals are accomplished. So, I don't have a ton more here, but...
Chris, yes. That $1.3 million, just doing some quick math, when I look at 01310024 and 01310025, amusement tax and parking lot tax, it says it's the township's intent to transfer amounts in excess of $500,000 to the general reserve fund, and regarding parking lot tax, intent to transfer amounts in excess of $350,000 to the general reserve. That comes out to $1.3 million. Is this basically just a transfer from the general reserve fund or from the general operating fund to the general reserve fund?
Correct. So, and I may have explained this last year. Internally, I've set a policy that I do not want to use any more than $500,000 of amusement tax funding to supplement operations. You know, any excess of $500,000 or whatever the number was, you know, like, $1 million or if it's 800,000.
850 combined.
You know, that's the line in the sand that we kind of drew, that after that point, any of the revenue that comes through the door for those purposes, rather than it being just absorbed into the general fund and kind of lost, we're parking it in this general operating reserve. That's how you're building this fund balance over time. You know, it's no different than, you know, when you're private life, when you're trying to save some money, you pay your expenses first, and what's left over, you try to put some in the bank, and maybe you take your wife out for a pizza afterwards.
So I just have one other question. If expenses are flat and revenues are up, why does the budget appear $1.7 million short? If you look at those top line numbers, it looks like about a 23 and plus expense versus a 22 and change revenue, unless I'm looking at it.
This is why you're coming
up? Yes, I think so.
So opening fund balance is $7 million. We're ending the year at 5.3. 1.3 is going into the operating reserve.
Right.
The balance is all of the transfers to the other funds. So that's why it's less than what it is. I mean, if the 1.3 would stay put, now you're at, you know, 7 million and change. So it would be a negative. It would be flat. So general fund balance would stay flat.
Right. I was just trying to understand the revenues of 22,155 versus the expenses of 23,889. It appears as if it's a 1.7 million shortfall, but you're saying 1.3 million of that is a transfer. So it's really a $400,000 shortfall, which could change in any of these numbers. They're so large that we're talking less than 1%.
That's correct. So, you know, and also that slide, when you look at total available for appropriation, which is the number that we work with, that includes that beginning balance and total revenue to get you to 29 and change. But that's how you break out and you get that fund balance at the end.
I understand. I was just in my head thinking that we want a balanced budget before we sweep $1.3 million into savings, but that sweep is what makes it appears to be a shortfall.
Correct.
Thank you.
No, you're welcome. Any other questions on general operating reserve before we move on? So lastly, just my closing comments again, as I had noted at the outset of this hearing, this is a no tax increase budget. Again, it's the fourth consecutive year of a no tax increase budget. This operating plan represents a conservative approach to maintaining the community services that we provide. It is a roadmap, you know, it is something, it's an estimate. We hope that all of our numbers come in alignment, you know, what we're projecting. I'm happy to answer any more questions that you have tonight. The department heads obviously are here if you want to have any specific specific questions from them. But if there are no other questions, I would just request that the board consider authorizing this to be advertised tonight so that we can look to approve that at your December 19th meeting.
Any questions for Chris and the staff on these items?
Just got a couple of just minor questions. So the first one is for Chief Warner. I have a question about the new vehicles that we're buying. And I guess, at least in my time here, we haven't had these interest rates that are this high. But looking at the interest rate on the new vehicles, the 5.95, like, is there any way that we could get a better interest rate on the vehicles that the PD is buying? It seems high. Maybe that's just the new normal. But we've always been able to get a great interest rate on other borrowing, and this looks high.
Well, these are always generally lease lines.
Yes. Yeah, those are leases.
So that's kind of stuck. And then we also, we work through the CoStars program on
yes.
for purchasing materials as well.
I don't know if that's a question. I forgot next time.
Are those covered by municipal share grant applications?
Yes.
Or is that?
We can certainly put that in as part of an ask. Yes. Anything that the departments have, you know, falls under the umbrella of Derry Township. So we could put as much into our application for local share each year as necessary. It's just not up to us to determine whether or not it'll be funded.
And we did move to leasing of vehicles many years ago, away from owning the vehicles, and sort of a losing proposition. The maintenance and all that kind of stuff, they get worn so hard with these vehicles.
It is common. I can tell you that other municipalities that have been in lease loan programs like this are the best way to replace the fleet because it's just too cost prohibitive otherwise. So
I did hear, didn't Garth say, the chief said he was going to lease minivans though rather than police cruisers. Is that just to recruit?
I'm looking at Toyota Yaris. another thing on the lease program, so another benefit to doing that is the upfitting of the vehicles, the equipment that goes into them, are all included in that lease. So we're able to, when we get a new car, we're able to purchase new equipment inside the car. Anything that's involved with that vehicle is put in that lease, so we're not trying to recycle old equipment that may be outdated and no longer usable. So there's a lot more than just the vehicle that goes into that lease.
Thank you. And then I had a couple of questions for Zach about the community center budget. I just need to get to the right page. But I was looking at the operating costs that are under like gas, sewer, and electric. Okay. And those seem to be like off the charts for the community center. And I didn't notice, like, I know the inflationary pressures are facing like every resident and every business.
Yeah.
Those seemed really high. Especially looking at other departments, they didn't seem to be going up that high. So is that just...
That's just based on the estimates that we got from the engineers. The biggest surprise was the electric,
which is
double.
And then I noticed, like, looking at the numbers and then what we're budgeting for next year, are we budgeting enough? It looks like it's going to exceed even...
Electric is probably one that... obviously, we submit our budgets in August, so take a look at that. Looking at that, I think today it was already... past what I was budgeted. Yeah. We are going to look at some other options, like looking at our variable frequency drives for our pool pumps, see if there's any efficiencies that we can create there. Obviously, we're probably still not going to make up those numbers, but it's probably still something we're going to have to fine-tune even into next year's budget.
That makes sense.
Electric has been, like I said, probably the biggest shocker and one of the ones that the engineers, I wouldn't say they missed, but of course, we were dealing in 2019, 2020, dollars when they were making those projections, and obviously we're in a different place now.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Thank you for that explanation.
Sure.
And then the other question I had was in regards to under participant recreation, the other contracted services, is that like the folks that you're hiring to do like the specialty programs?
Exactly. So that's our instructors and contractors for all of our programs. So that number's increasing because we're continuing to ramp up those programs and continue to add programs. So that's our instructor payments.
And I know you get a lot of questions, and so do we, about how much those programs cost and why they're not all free. And that right there on that budget line item shows us why they can't be free. I mean, they are very expensive to operate those programs, and it looks like they're going up by $40,000 this year.
Correct. Yep, so I mean, you can see on the revenue side, obviously we have revenues going in, but for every revenue that we're bringing in, there's also an expense going out to
absolutely
pay those.
Absolutely. With some of the recent discussions we've had, I thought that was really important to note that there's a real cost to those programs that we're offering.
For sure.
That's why there's a payment associated.
Correct.
So those were my only questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have one last one. Chuck, building permit fees were $1.2 million this year? David's already nodding yes. And I think we only budgeted it for half that, you say, in
years. We built a new chocolate plant.
And you think that's just, I'm sorry, say it again.
What was the other big one, David?
We had a couple large branches. So you figure that's just a one-year phenomenon.
The Reese plant alone was $600,000.
Yeah.
Building permit.
Oh my God. They covered my budget for the year.
Wow.
Did you include, Chuck, in your budget things that all of the, whatever office, but that your office is a hub of activity, right? And it is different. Every department has its unique attributes, but yours, do you have all the things you need? And you're getting a new employee, which is definitely needed.
So you were talking about succession plans earlier. That's part of why David's here. You know, he wants to see what the budget hearings are like. Our new employee that's coming online for code inspection, Nick Schrader and I are about the same age, within a month, and probably have 2 to 4 years left in our tenure here. And it's so hard to find code people to come online, so that's why we're trying to get another one in, so that we're not quite sure when Nick retires.
I just want to make sure you have the office supplies, the things you need that are unique to your department.
No, I appreciate that. You also see that we have a rather large, for our, in comparison to our staff, a training budget and certifications budget. What was, I think, around $6,000.
Additionally, too, just to point out, you know, Chuck's been after it for the last couple of years, but you know, it's one of the things that gets cut pretty quickly is the digitizing of his plans. So there's a $60,000 line item included to help improve the efficiencies in the office by being able to digitize a lot of what he does.
We're plumb out of space. We have plans.
It's got to be done for multiple reasons.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't hit on specific departments, you know, in my discussion tonight, but you know, IT is the one area of the budget that I try to stress each year that you'll see that grow. You should see it growing year over year. You know, technology continues to change and continues to improve. They are tools that are somewhat expensive, but they make us a much leaner operation overall. We're less body intensive. So those fees that we pay for, you know, OneDrive, things like this to make these things work makes our jobs more efficient and a lot easier. So, you know, I've tasked the departments to make sure that they're looking at good technology answers to things so that we're being as efficient as we can. Because there are so many tools out there that you can go after. I just think it improves the efficiency and the service delivery for the township overall. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Chuck, I've seen the catacombs down there. I mean, could they use the tax office, Chris? What are our long-term plans for the tax office space?
So I was in the tax office today. So I'm still working through with business manager at the district to try to figure out the path forward, what's the next steps to closing that office. There's a lot of paperwork over there that needs to be gone through. We are working with the solicitor that's involved right now to figure out what the retention act says for some of this paperwork that's there. How much of it do we have to actually keep, or how long do we have to keep it? To your point, once we're able to get through that and the association officially dissolves and the assets can kind of go where they go, the physical plan of the building. Then we're in a position that the supervisors can decide, hey, what's our options? You know, can we lease this space? Is this market rate leasable space? You know, but it may have implications on the debt service that exists for this campus, and we may have to figure out, you know, how that affects all of those things. There's like a kind of a, an if and then kind of scenario. Sure. But I think there's a lot of opportunity for that. I mean, I'd like to explore more of a lease option. If there's a way for us to generate a revenue stream to come into the township, that would be great. You know, from a storage solution standpoint, it could also become file storage. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's an expensive space to make it hold files, but.
I like revenue to scan the files because, quite honestly, you know, it's retrieval too. You know, so having the stuff remote is not our right to knows and pain of our existence because we can't charge them. We can handle stuff digitally, so we end up scanning the stuff and send it out, and we'll collect a penny for our services that we provide.
Electronic storage is an option. You don't have to have physical copies. They're not required.
So. In the record retention law, there's archival PDFs that are put in.
Wow,
that'd be great. So Drew from IT has been exploring.
Right, it gets complex with, you know, separate drives and that kind of stuff. Yeah, digital works.
And we're also trying to explore a lot of cloud service as well. So the finance software package is moving to the cloud in January, so that'll give us all access remotely, a little easier than it is today. Right now, if I want to go in and look at very specific things within the finances of the township, I have to do it from here. I can't just log in like if I'm at home or at a conference or whatever. You know, a remote location. I'm at the community center sitting with Zach. We can't figure out something. So it's a little limiting, but we're working through that. And again, it's a time and money question.
The last thing I have at the risk of angering. The only person that's really gone. Chief, do you think that this year, maybe in the spring, give you plenty of ramp-up time, that, you know, you could either arrange for, like, supervisors to either, you know, one at a time, either do, maybe call them not drive-bys, but...
Ride-along?
Because I was like, drive-bys.
You missed the fish catcher. I did that.
Yeah. I mean, whether it's the concerts, whether it's another concert or ride-alongs, I think that we spend a lot of, we deservedly so, we spend a lot of money in this community on public safety, and I think the chief, the police department do a great job with that. Fire department does a great job with that, but those kinds of things I think are invaluable. Those experiences for a supervisor to understand really, because I've been in the front seat of a police car, and so I know the kind of technology that exists in those vehicles that, you know, that 25 years ago didn't exist, but today it's like a small little computerized office in there. So when we talk about upfitting them and leasing them, like all that stuff are things that when supervisors can see it. I know the first time I was ever in the command vehicle at a concert, like Carter was referencing, and you see the activity and the coordination, you gain an appreciation for why it's really fortunate to have it, but the value of having it in this community. So I'm just thinking if you could think about that maybe for this spring and just have some opportunities for folks, I think that it would be good for... I would invite everybody, all the department heads, it's easiest with the police department, probably not as easy to do with the fire department. God knows Tom Clark doesn't want us in the snowplows.
We used to have a lot of supervisors plow.
You did. I know you used to.
Yeah.
Yeah. The last thing I want to see coming down my street is Natalie Nutt. 20-ton snowplow, and I'm out there, and I can't run in deep snow. I encourage all of you to do that, because anything you can do to help us see really what you're up against every day is really helpful, you know, just in terms of advocating for you. So,
you know, you have the best day, and we certainly aren't hurting for trucks now, thanks to many boards of local share, but years ago, the supervisors did actually come out when we had snows and would take a plow truck. And it wasn't until one of the supervisors got stuck on a back road in a snowdrift on a cold and windy night, and the rust holes in the floorboards were that bad, he was freezing with the heater on. We got a lot of new trucks.
So that makes a difference. So does anybody else have any questions or comments?
I have to say thank you all in the world for everything that's rising in cost around us. Being able to hold the budget is just incredible. So thank you all for your hard work.
Good job, guys.
So I think, Chris, do you need a motion and a vote to prepare this budget or just direction?
I do. We do need a motion. Before you go on, I just, on behalf of us, you know, we want to thank the board for your guidance. Always, you guys have been super to work for and work with. Each year, the last couple of years have been fabulous. You know, you provide the overarching view of the direction of the township, and you know, it makes it a lot easier for us when we have clear guidance from the board. So thank you. This is budget's as much a reflection of us as it is of you. You should also be very proud of where we are. That's a lot of hard work on your part, making sure we're doing our jobs. So you should be able to go out into the community and say, hey, we've been doing some good things. Pay a little bit more attention rather than being so critical towards the township. Okay.
I don't know. Before we entertain a motion, I would just say, stay off Facebook. I don't hear, all I hear is good things. I know, like, there is no place that's perfect. We do our very best. Everybody in this room does their very best. And I think our board recognizes how much good work you guys all do. And truthfully, when people are truly upset about something, you know, they typically do reach out to us. Those are the things that we hear, and then you guys typically resolve them really quickly. So I just don't stay off Facebook.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Board of Supervisors authorize and direct the Township Manager to advertise and make available for public inspection the proposed fiscal year 2024 budget in accordance with Section 3205 of the Pennsylvania Second Class Township Code.
I'll second.
Motion made by Mr. Wyckoff. Motion is seconded by Mr. Zmuda. Any further comment or further questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it 5-0. It's unanimous. The motion passes. Thank you, Mr. Christman. Thank you to your team. We can now entertain, we would open the agenda for public comment. We will close public comment because there is no one from the public present. We can now entertain a motion for adjournment.
I'll make a motion for adjournment.
Motion made by Mr. Zmuda. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Corrado. All in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The ayes have it. Motion is adjourned. Thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful day.